Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of John, the 11th chapter of the book of John. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, the shortest verse in the Bible. That's our text. Verse number 35, Jesus wept. Father, I thank you again today for your grace, your goodness and kindness. I thank you for who you are. You're the true, the living God. And this morning, once again, we can depend upon you. We need your help. We need your power. We need your wisdom. This preacher certainly needs you. We need you in the services this day, Lord, to work amongst us, do that within us, Lord, that needs to be done. Lord, should there be anyone here that's unsaved, oh God, let this be the day of their salvation. And let us as God's people, Father, have the same compassion that Jesus had. And help us, Lord, to this morning to listen attentively, hear what you've got for us. And Lord, then help us to apply those things unto our life. Now, once again, we thank you and are grateful, Father, for what you have done for us. The salvation of our souls. Thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Be reading some more scripture in just a few moments, but I imagine it's hard for you to see all of this, but the person you're looking at in that picture is a woman whose husband was a pastor in Pakistan. And he was gunned down on the streets in Pakistan because of his faith and preaching Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was gunned down, and she weeps over her husband, the loss of her husband. Have here a person in Bangladesh. It's hard to see, but that's a lady that is kneeling over her husband. She's put her cheek upon his dead cheek. He was a pharmacist in Bangladesh, and he had rejected the Islam religion and accepted Jesus Christ as personal savior. And because of that, some radical Muslims gunned him down in the street. Have a picture here of a young lady. In China. This young lady in China went down, her and her mother-in-law went down to a market in China and was passing out Bibles and gospel tracts. She knew the danger of that. She knew that there would be consequences for it, but she went anyway, trying to get people saved. And her mother-in-law and herself was arrested, taken down to the police station, and told that they was going to have to serve 15 days detention in jail. And they was agreeable to that because they knew there was a cost for doing what they did. But at the police station, they took this young lady and they beat her to death. I was thinking about that. That happened on the 18th of June of this last year. I had my stroke on the 9th of June, and I was thinking, what a light thing that I had. About 9 days later, this lady gave her life for her faith. And her family weeps over her. She had a husband and a 4-year-old child. There's just so much weeping that certainly is going on across the world. There's things to weep over. I was thinking about Afghanistan. I don't know whether you know this or not. This really don't have a whole lot to do with the message, but in Afghanistan, President Karzai was just elected over there in a free election. And of course, over there it's 96% Muslim. Muslim is the recognizable religion over there. Before Christianity was banned, the Taliban got put out of power, and so it's nothing said about Christianity, but they're not recognized as a religion. And here we are sending our troops over there to save a Muslim nation. I'm not trying to criticize anything. I'm just trying to say that's what we're doing. A nation that does not recognize Christ. There is 48,000, listen to me, 48,000 mosques in Afghanistan. And there is not one Christian church. A lot of weeping to be done in this old country of ours. Now, I know the tragedies that's just happened over in the Indian, around the Indian Ocean. I understand all of those things, and we weep, and we certainly should. A lot of weeping, grieving that's went on because of all the death, somewhere around 150,000. I hear different numbers all the time, so I don't know how many for sure. But anyway, 150,000 souls went out into eternity. Probably a very small number of those were Christian. So that means they went to hell. The tragedy of a lost body, someone who died is tragic. But the loss of a soul is more tragic than that. And all across this world, everywhere you look, you see most of these nations, many of them are Muslim nations. Indonesia is the biggest Muslim nation in the world. They have more Muslims in Indonesia than anywhere else. And we look at all of these things, and it should bring tears to our eyes. I have a little bit of an understanding, I think, why Jesus wept. Jesus here was weeping over the death of Lazarus. Let me say that was the account of it. I've wondered many times why he was weeping. He knew he was going to bring him back to life. Someone has suggested that the possibility of that is why he was weeping. He was going to bring him back and give him life to come back here and live back here. I don't really know all the depth of it, but I know the Bible says Jesus wept. I want you to go with me over to the book of Luke, the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. Verse 34. 13th chapter, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. We find here, he says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. What I'm saying to you, Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said, you know, I'd have gathered you under my wings. I would have taken care of you, and you would not. I think about those words, them three, ye would not. What a tragedy. Jesus there looking over Jerusalem, sad as he looked over that city where his name was to be proclaimed. And he said, you would not. And I think many times of what's going on in America, and we see over and over, if you do any visitation at all, if you talk to people about Christ, you see a lot of you would nots. Oh, I know people are still getting saved. Thank God for that. We've got to keep doing it no matter what. We've got to keep proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter what happens. We've got to do it. But what I'm saying is there is a lot of you would nots. And so this morning, I want you to go with me to the chapter 19 of Luke. And I want to use that basically as my text. Verse 41. And he says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days come shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus Christ looked down upon the city and realized all that Jerusalem would one day suffer because of the rejection of him. Even today, Jerusalem is still suffering because of the rejection of the Son of God. Car bombs go off in that area of the world anyway on a constant basis. People are killed in all different kinds of manners in that part of the area, in that part of the country over there. And Jesus foresaw all of that. He looked and he saw what Jerusalem was going to go through, and the Bible says that he wept. I believe Jesus, of course, being God, knew and understood all the sin and the iniquity that was going on in Jerusalem, just as it does in cities in America tonight, today. You see, all of the outward glamour of a city, we see that somewhat in the cities here in America, but when you look at it, it's just outward glamour. You look at it and there's all of that that's underneath. There's that hidden sin and that open sin and that selfishness and lust and wickedness and corruption and hypocrisy and hardness of heart. And Jesus understood that when he looked down upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem was supposed to be a place where God's name was placed, where he had chosen to place his name there. The city and its people had chosen to reject him instead of accept him. And Jesus wept. Now I think today, if you'll just give a little bit of thought as we go through this message, I don't know why we don't weep as we look at the cities of America. We look at this nation that God has given us, a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ has so vividly and openly been proclaimed. And yet we look at the nation as a whole and see its wickedness and its sin and all that's going on. And I don't know that we really give much thought to it. Whether it causes us to weep as Jesus wept. I said to myself as I was preparing this message, Jesus wept. Should not we? Should not we? Because we see exactly the same, a lot of the same things. Although we couldn't see all the inward things, we're seeing the same things that Jesus saw. You see, and one of the reasons he wept, if you notice in verse 42, he tells us, he opens up the door, he says, "I wept," but he tells us why he wept. He says, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou." In other words, he was saying to them, they could have known. Jerusalem could have known and could have been saved from all of this wickedness that was going to happen to Jerusalem if they had accepted their master. They was willfully ignorant. If you read that verse, he says, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace." He said, peace would have come to you. You would have had peace. That's what you would have had. He said, "But now they are hid from thine eyes." The truth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and he come to die on the cross for their sins is now hid from them. You understand? And you see, we ought to understand, you see, that Jesus foresaw the day. You look at verse 43, he foresaw the day when Rome was going to come and destroy that city and destroy that temple. He seen ahead. He knew that all of that was going to happen, and it caused him to weep. Amen? And I say to you, because God had already proclaimed it, clear back in the Old Testament, he had proclaimed what was going to happen to Jerusalem, what was going to happen to Israel. And the reason for all of this was they did not understand, as it says in verse 45, they did not understand the time of his visitation. In other words, they did not understand that God was sending his son, that God was coming in the person of his son. And he was going to be there to save their souls and pay the redemptive price for their sin. And they did not understand it. They did not see it, you see. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and he came.
Amen.
And they did not understand it. They did not see it. And because of that, Jerusalem was going to suffer all kinds of problems. Now let me show you what he did. He told them all these things. In verse 45, he says, "And he went into the temple and begun to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought." You know what Christ did? He went to the very place of the problem. He went to the temple. That is the place of the problem. That's where the word of God was supposed to be preached. That's where it was supposed to be proclaimed. So Jesus went here to the temple, and he corrected the problem. You say, how did he correct it, Brother Ross? Look at verse number 47. "And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him." Look at verse number 1 of chapter 20. "And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders." You see, he came to the right place to correct the problem. It was in the temple. I'll talk about this more in a little while, but I want to tell you right now, the right place to correct all of this is in the church. We've got problems in our churches. Some people don't recognize that. They don't understand that. They take everything as just though the way it is. But we got real problem in our churches. And it needs to be corrected. And the only thing that will correct it is the teaching of the Word of God. That's the only thing that will correct it. That's what Jesus did. He went in and taught. In verse 47, he went in and taught. In verse 1 of chapter 20, he went in and taught the Word of God. And that's the thing that will correct. But let me say to you, he also found a lot of people that were on deaf ears that would not listen. He came in and corrected the problem by teaching the word of God. That's what needs to be preached, that needs to be taught. And yet there's deaf ears that will not listen. They will not hear. And because of that, they was going to have to suffer all of those things that was going to come upon Jerusalem. Foolishly, silly, because they could have accepted, they could have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they could have been saved. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. I think that we ought to. I think we ought to have a vision of lost souls. I think it's time our eyes open to the truth that all around us, everywhere we look, there's lost souls. We need a vision of that. We need to understand that the people we live next to and the people we meet on our day-to-day basis, people we work with and people we live beside and all of those things are lost. Many of those are lost, and we need a vision of it. We need to get a hold of it as Jesus did, and we need to teach them the blessed book, the wonderful word of God. These people could have known, Jesus said. They could have known. But they would not, they would not, they would not listen, you see. I think we need to see all the suffering that could come to our cities. Jesus saw what was going to have to Jerusalem, and we've only seen a little bit of it here in New York City. We've seen some of it. But I'm saying to you, don't you understand that this kind of suffering also could come to this nation and to our cities? If they don't repent, if you don't trust God, you see, and turn to the Lord, you see. This is so serious. You see, I think we ought to look and see beneath the splendor of our cities. I was in, my wife and I was in Las Vegas, Nevada one time. We didn't go there to gamble. We went there to see, isn't that good? Are you glad? I thought you would be. We went there to see, my wife's sister lived in Las Vegas. That's been quite a few years back now. We went out there to see her. And I was glad to go see her as my sister-in-law. It was good to go. In fact, she was really surprised I came. But she just, her eyes got big. And she said, "Bob, I'm glad you're here." And I said, "Well, I don't know whether I am or not, but I'm here. I'm here to see you." And that's why I went. I went out there to see her. But I want to tell you something. That was one of the most wicked places I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you, the glamour of it was everywhere. I mean, lights everywhere, beautiful lights everywhere you looked. But the sin and the lust and the wickedness that was underneath all of that, honestly, when we left there, I told Donna, I want to go somewhere and take a spiritual bath. I felt dirty just being there in the presence of all of that. I can't explain it. I don't know why. All I know is I felt dirty. Everywhere you looked was slot machines. Everywhere you looked was filth and no clothing. And just it's just filthy. It's just a filthy place to be. Don't you understand? Should not we look and see all of that beneath our cities in America? Don't you understand? If you look to go to about every any city in America, you'll find mostly that type of a thing. You'll find the sin and all of the stuff that's going on, the wickedness and corruption that's going on in our cities. Should not we also, as Jesus did, look at our cities as he did and weep? You understand, folks? You understand that this is America, and she's one of the greatest nations that's ever been on the face of this earth, and she's going down the tube? You can't, some of you younger people don't know anything else. That's all you've ever known. As it is now, that's all you've ever known. That's all you've ever seen. But some of us older folk, we've seen it. We've seen it when it wasn't like this. No, it's getting worse and worse all the time. And that's what the scripture says is going to happen. It's just going downhill. And America is going downhill. And we got to get people saved. We got to get them born again into God's family. We got to quit this playing around and this foolishness. And we've got to get our hearts open to the fact that these people are lost. And we've got to do something about it, you see. Christ is being rejected just like Jerusalem rejected Jesus Christ. He's being rejected today in our cities and across this country, you see. They'd rather have their godless ways than their God's way. You see. And the thing about it is, we should weep because most of these could have known. Could have known. I look at our missions back there and I'm so thrilled that we have that many missionaries, but I look at it and say we're not doing everything we should do. We've got to get the gospel out. We got to get the gospel out in Jasonville, Indiana. I don't hardly ever go through Jasonville, Indiana without just looking to side and looking and seeing people and saying to myself, are they saved? Are they ready? Are they ready for heaven? I want to tell you, there's multitudes right here in our area here that we need to be reaching for Christ that are just lost. No, they're just lost. You understand? And they could have known. Could have known. You see, we have the gospel. We have the message that'll save their souls. It's the message of Jesus Christ, and we ought to understand that, you see. Thank God that Jesus come to seek and to save that which is lost, and as he said back then, thank God he came to do that, but yet there's many that would not. I understand that. I know that. I know the difficulty of going out there, but folks, go in the power of God and spread that gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the only message. The gospel's the only message going to get anybody saved. Nothing else is going to do it. You understand what I'm saying? And so we've got to just do it, you see. Jesus saw the destruction of Jerusalem, and we should see what is awaiting those that's rejecting Christ. We ought to understand that hell is real. It's hot and it's real. And we need to understand, just as back in Micah, he'd prophesied about Jerusalem and how it was going to be destroyed. Don't you understand that it's all through the Word of God where God has prophesied what's going to happen to those who are lost and they die without Jesus? I mean, don't we understand that? Don't we see that? Don't we have an understanding where, I mean, in 2005, don't you think we ought to get a hold of this thing and do everything we can to get everybody saved, that we can get saved? Don't you think we ought to? No, I'm not just talking about on visitation day. I'm talking about every day of our life. Why don't we witness every day of our life? Why don't we present Christ so that people will understand. Can you imagine what could happen to this community in this area if every person in this room would just present the gospel every week? Tell somebody about Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen in this community? And yet many times we sit and just unconcerned. We don't really care. I'm afraid anyway. We just don't care. But you better give some thought to those precious relatives of yours, those neighbors of yours that's going to die one of these days, and where are they going to go? We've got to get a hold of that truth. Amen. We got to see that as Jesus saw it and understand that we've just got to get busy, and wherever we go, whether it's downtown or wherever it might be, we've just got to do our best to get the gospel out, that folk will be saved. Amen. So the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:22, "For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell." You ever look at those pictures of these volcanoes and see that molding lava coming out of those volcanoes? Those things are amazing. I look at that, and every time I said, that's coming down from the center of the earth. That's where hell's at. I sure wouldn't want to be there. You understand that God has already warned, God has already said that he set hell on fire, that it's there. He tells us about the lake of fire, where those who are lost is going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. You're talking about a lake of fire, not of water, but of fire. We have little understanding maybe what that means, but do you understand, folks, that God's saying if a person dies without Christ, that's where they're going to spend an eternity. It's an awesome thing to me. I go to funerals, and just about every time you go to a funeral, regardless of how that person lived, regardless of what they did, you'll hear people say, well, they're better off. Well, I want to tell you something right now. They're not better off if they're in hell. They're not better off. They're burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. You go to those funerals, and everybody tries to talk that person into heaven, even though they live like the devil all of their life. It's a soothing of our conscience is what it is. We just kind of like to soothe our conscience to think that surely they're all right. Surely that we didn't goof up. Surely we didn't get the message to them. But, you know, somewhere along the line, they're all right. No, they're not. If they're not saved, they're lost. They're dying. They died and they went to hell, and they'll burn there forever and ever. Do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
It's exactly what the Bible says. And we better get a hold of that truth, you see. Don't let people go out in eternity without the gospel message and the assurance that that person has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, see. The Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Aren't you a little bit afraid about this nation who is forgetting God to much degree? I understand we have a lot of wonderful Christians in this nation, but I want to tell you, there's a lot of devils in this old world, in this nation. God says they'll be turned into hell. The Bible says hell and destruction are never full. Just keeps adding to. The Bible says in Isaiah, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. You know what God says? God had to, he had to enlarge hell because of the number of those who would go there. It enlarges itself. Don't we have an understanding of that? Does it bother us? Do we see as Jesus saw? Do we weep like Jesus wept as he looked at Jerusalem and seen all that they could have known, they could have had, and they would not, you see? I think we also ought to weep because of the condition of the churches in America. They also know not the time of his visitation. They know he come, but the people in their community, most of them don't. They know somewhere along the line he's coming back, but they're not too excited about it because they don't really believe that it's today or it will be soon. Tell you what we need. We need old-fashioned Bible separation away from the world and unto godliness. We need that in our churches. That's what God in His Word preaches that a church should be, teaches that we should be, and that's what we need. They need to see the separation between this old world and churches. They need to realize there is a difference. Amen. So the world can see that difference and understand that their Christians are different. We need to quit letting the fences down. We need to build some walls that will not be pushed down. Do you hear me? Hopefully this church, don't know how much longer God's going to give me. I have no idea that. You don't either, I don't think. You don't know how long you're going to be around. I don't know how long I'm going to be around, but I want to tell you right now, as long as I am around, I don't want to let fences down. Amen. And we've got a church here, we've got a people here who feel that way. We want to stay compassionate. We want to love folk. We want to do everything we can, but we don't let the fences down. Are you for straightening out the church instead of making it go down? Are you for getting the church on a higher standard where it ought to be instead of just letting it go to nothing where it don't even have a testimony? I believe with all my heart we need to get back to the source. I don't blame this wicked world for the problems today. I blame the church. I believe the church is the problem, you see. And we're unwilling to stand fast and hold those fences and those walls like they ought to be. And until we do, this old world is not going to change. America's not going to change for the better. Because it's the church that must stand for right. Amen. I hope you understand that. I hope you believe that, you see. We need to understand, as Jesus said, that the house of God is a place of prayer. It's not a den of thieves. It's a place of prayer. It's a place where people need to get together and pray. Wednesday nights, we have people here on Wednesday night. We have a prayer meeting. On Wednesday night after services, I cannot imagine in all that's within me ever walking out of a prayer meeting. That's above anything I can ever imagine. I wouldn't have done that 2 days after I got saved. Walking out of a prayer meeting instead of getting down on your knees and praying for the church, and praying for lost souls, and asking God to do something special here. I can't imagine that. I'm serious. I cannot imagine that. Walking out of a prayer meeting. That's as much a part of the service as the preaching is. What are we doing? Jesus said His house is a house of prayer. Amen. See, we need to understand that. We need to understand also that the answer to all of this is what Jesus said that He did is the Word of God. Because He went in and He taught. And He proclaimed the Word of God. That's the answer to all of it. If people will listen to the Word of God and hear it and hear it proclaimed and apply it to our lives. That's the answer. It's the Word of God. You see, you can't go against the Word of God and have blessings of God on your life. You can't do that, you see. I believe we need to understand also, if you look at verse number 48, just look real quickly, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to him. There, verse 47, he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. I want you to know also, we need to understand that that kind of a stand is not going to be popular. You expect everybody to run up and hug you and love you because you're going to stand on the Word of God, you might as well forget it. They're going to stand against you, not for you. You understand? It's not going to be popular. That's what they did with Jesus when He began to teach and the truth of God's Word. You see, and they stood against Him and tried to destroy Him. You understand what I'm saying? We need to understand this thing's not going to be a popular stand if you stand on God's Word. Look at verse number 1 and 2 in chapter 20. Came to pass that on one of those days, as He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon Him with the elders. and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doth thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? That's an interesting story. I'm not going to read it, but you ought to read the rest of that. It's so interesting. I mean, Jesus just puts them to flight. I mean, he puts them to flight. It's interesting how he does it, how the audacity of them to come and ask what authority he has. He's God. Can you imagine asking Jesus Christ, what authority have you got? Well, I want to tell you what authority he has. He's the creator. He's God the creator. He's God the Son. He's the Son of God, you see. Now, I want to show you something. I want you to go with me over to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, 37th chapter of Jeremiah. Let me read verse 16 and 17. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There he is, for said he, Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. He didn't change his message. He said, You know what? Yeah, there's a word of the Lord says you're going to be delivered into the Babylon captivity. That's where you're going, you see. And they didn't like that. They didn't want to hear that. But Zedekiah got him out and said, Is there any word from the Lord? I want to tell you something. You know, we ought to be asking that too. Is there any word from the Lord? Yeah, here it is. It's his word. It's the Bible. And we ought to be listening. I'm so thankful when I read the Bible that I know that Jesus Christ came to save. That's the word from God. He wants to save your souls. He wants to give you eternal life, you see. He'll save the down and out. He'll save no matter how, whatever you've done, no matter how bad you think you've been, Jesus will save. Give you eternal life. And that's a word from the Lord. Amen. He'll save your soul. You understand that? He'll save you no matter what. He also will save the up and out. He'll save those who think they're too good to be saved or too great. But he'll even save them if they'll repent. See, no matter who you are, Jesus wants to save you. You may be rich, Jesus wants to save you. You may be poor, Jesus wants to save you. And he'll even save the in and outs. Thomas, he didn't show up for the meeting there with Jesus and missed so many things. And there's a lot of in and outs today. There's those who just don't know a thing about faithfulness. They just don't know anything about faithfulness whatsoever, and they use up some kind of excuses for their unfaithfulness. But folks, listen, you know, Jesus will even save you. He loves you, cares for you, wants to save your soul. Old Peter, one time he went fishing when he should have been standing fast on the word of God, but he went fishing. You know that story. He said, I think I'll go fishing. He thought Jesus was gone and wouldn't be back, and he said, I'm just going to go fishing. You see, Jesus even straightened him out and took care of him, watched over him, and helped him along the way. I'm just simply saying to you, Jesus will help you if you let him. Amen. Jesus will help you if you let him. But he won't do it your way. He'll do it his way. Amen. So what do we do? Well, we preach the word. We be instant in season and out of season. Don't make any difference what season it is. We preach the word. Make a difference whether it's popular or not popular. We preach the word. You teach the word of God. You give forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter if it's in season or out of season. Matter of people want to hear or don't want to hear, you give forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, why? Because hell is down the road. And it's going to happen. Hell is going to happen to those who know not Christ as personal Savior. Do you understand that? And it's our responsibility to look down as Jesus looked on Jerusalem and all around. It's our responsibility to give forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see. Ananias and Sapphira, you remember the story there. The word of God didn't do them much good because they rejected it. But I want to tell you what it did to those around when Ananias and Sapphira died so quickly. The Bible says great fear came upon all the church. One of the greatest things that's needed today in Christianity is the fear of God. Now, we need fear of God. It's not here. It's not around. But we need fear of God. Most folk today just simply say, well, I'll do what I want to do. Don't make a difference. I'll just do whatever I want to do, and it'll be all right, but not giving any thought to the Bible, the Word of God. We ought to have some fear of God in us. You see, we're to persuade people about Christ. I'm just going to ask you a question. I'll ask myself that same question. How many weeks has it been since you've ever talked to anyone about Jesus Christ and their lost condition? You just think in your head, how long has it been? Has it been a week? Has it been 2 weeks? Has it been 2 months? Has it been a year? Has it been 2 years? Has it been 3 years? Has it been 4 years? How long has it been since you've even talked to anyone about Christ? And then you tell me if you feel like that's what God would want, and you're all right with God because of that. It's time we got a hold of the concern that Jesus had for the lost. I mean, it's time we quit playing games and got a hold of the truth that there's lost people out there that need saved. Amen. And we're the ones that's supposed to take the message. Amen. Yeah, Jesus wept. I understand why he wept. What I don't understand is why we don't weep. I don't know why we don't. But most of the time we don't. Hopefully, you get a hold of just a little bit this morning of why Jesus Christ wept. He cared about the lost. He cared about folk like you and me. There was somebody that came my way and told me how to be saved. Lived across from Jerry Purcell and Ruth Ann Purcell and their family there for a short period of time. And we were not saved, but it wasn't very long. They just keep at us and kept at us and kept at us and kept at us, inviting us to church, inviting us and talking to us. I rode back and forth to work with Jerry once in a while, and he'd talk about the Lord. You'd go over to their house, and they'd have the Bible open, and they'd been reading the Word of God. And I just wonder if we make any influence whatsoever on our neighbors. Because it was because of those folk. I know it was God that was drawing us. I know all of that. But it was because of those folk that set an example of godliness is the reason we got saved. That's why. Now, how about it? Is there any that you're having influence on or I'm having influence on? Is there any? Are we making a difference? Does it even bother us that they're lost? Let's pray. Father, again today I thank you for your grace and your goodness and your kindness. All that you are, who you are today, Father, thank you for the wonderful grace of God. So, Father, we ask you during this invitation to work upon our hearts. The will of God would be done in our lives. We'd see the necessity to preach the gospel to all that is lost. Father, that there be a compassion and a concern in our hearts. Lord, let our hearts weep over the lost and what's coming if they don't get saved. I pray this, that you'll be able to work in hearts this morning, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.